state your name and your organization?
Yes, my name is Peter Urban, and I am the North American coordinator of the Irish Republican Socialist Committees of North America, which is a support organization for the Irish Republican Socialist Party, and it's armed wing, the Irish National Liberation Army.
That would be the INLA, which is considered by some mainstream reporters a splinter group of the Irish Republican Army.
It's often described that way. In fact, by what people understand to mean the Irish Republican Army, it's not actually correct. The contemporary Irish Republican Army and ourselves both cleaved off of the same initial root. In 1969-70, what became known as the Provisionals, which are Sinn Féin and the IRA that people recognize today, broke from the traditional Republican movement in essentially what was a left-right split, with them representing the right wing. It's been described as also being a split over tactics, the relative use of armed force. But in fact, both the official and provisional wings maintained the armed struggle for several years after that split. So we really see it as a political left-right split. But anyway, 5 years later, in 1974, our organization was formed in a second split out of the official wing. So when you talk about the provisional IRA, which is the IRA that people recognize today, we've never been a part of that organization.
Okay. So you're referring to a split with the original IRA?
With the original IRA, and as I say, our departure was in 1974.
Going back on that take, the founder of the Irish Republican Socialist Party, James Connolly, was one of the...
James Connolly was the founder of the Irish Socialist Republican Party back in 1892, but the founder of our movement is Seamus Costello.
Okay. What was James Connolly's relationship to the original IRA?
Well, James Connolly is seen by many as being a founding member, if you will, of the original IRA, although, again, I think that's largely due to kind of a mythology. Connolly was a revolutionary socialist born in Scotland and had quite a lengthy and illustrious career in the socialist movement of Scotland, and was given the opportunity to become the organizer for a party in Dublin, the Irish Socialist Republican Party, in the 1890s, and went over and took that opportunity. At that point, he essentially transformed, you could say. I mean, he was part of a transformation of the national liberation struggle that had been ongoing in Ireland for centuries, literally, by introducing a well-defined class orientation. I mean, he was a revolutionary Marxist, and he put forward the perspective that the national liberation struggle and the struggle for socialism were inseparable. Now, that's a tradition that goes on today that we are a part of. In 1916, Connolly was head of a... In 1916, Connolly was already the leader of a group called the Irish Citizen Army, which had been founded initially as a self-defense organization for locked-out workers in a major lockout in 1913. And he was strongly motivated by the fratricide, as he saw it, of working-class people in Europe during the First World War, and wanted to essentially create something that would rivet workers to realize that their enemies were not each other, but rather the bourgeoisie of their own nation. And so he was intending to initiate an insurrection against the British state, which was then the colonial masters of Ireland. And there was another armed organization, a more mixed class, more bourgeois-oriented one called the Irish Volunteers, they got word of what Connelly was planning and were disturbed that he was going to essentially sweep the masses behind him. And so they actually, in the beginning of 1916, actually kidnapped him. It's quite an involved story, and I won't go into all of it, but the bottom line is that he came out of that kidnapping as a member of the ruling council, if you will, of this insurrectionary plan for both organizations, the Irish Volunteers and the Irish Citizen Army, to march out together. Following that rising, which failed and resulted in Connelly being one of many leaders who were put before a firing squad, a group was formed called the Irish Republican Army. And so many people see Connelly as having brought his forces, the proletarian forces of the Irish Citizen Army, into this new body. In fact, the Irish Citizen Army continued a separate existence for some years thereafter. So I would say that in terms of what his relation is, he was definitely an inspiration to many in the Irish Republican Army. There were many who would have seen themselves as followers of Connelly, and Connelly is generally speaking seen as one of the great heroes of the Irish Republican movement. But his relationship with the forces that went into that body were very complicated. For example, he's known to have said to his troops in the Irish Citizen Army when they marched out on Easter Monday, hold on to your guns, because the people that are fighting side by side with us are not after the same republic that we're after. We're after a workers' republic, and we may need these guns to fight them when this is over. So even though he did march them out together and they waged this insurrection or attempted this insurrection together, he was quite aware that there was class divisions within the nationalist movement and that the working class needed to stand on their own.
He spent some time in America. I had read that he was actually somewhat involved and helping found the Industrial Workers of the World.
Yeah, he was actually a founding member of the IWW. He was brought over here by the Socialist Labor Party. He was part of a tendency in Scotland that was very close to the Socialist Labor Party and maintained that connection, and actually did two tours of America. The first one relatively short, but the second one he was here for, I believe, 2 years, living in Troy, New York, and had a major impact. He and De Leon fell out over a couple of issues. De Leon was employing the iron law of wages that Ferdinand LaSalle had kind of pioneered, and they had a falling out over that interpretation of Marxism, essentially, and falling out also over De Leon's insistence on the wedding of atheism with the socialist movement, which didn't work very well in Connolly's context, coming from a heavily Irish, heavily Catholic country. And his debates with De Leon are on a very sophisticated level. And I think this is worthy of drawing attention to. Connolly's occupation when he was in Scotland was that of a manure carter. He started working when he was about 12 years old as a, I think they called it a printer's devil, basically a kid that carried, a heavy things for typesetting. And, he was self-educated, but he really produced an incredible body of literature in Marxist theory that in some areas is frankly, I think, unparalleled, or at least pioneering. And he wrote one of the great, great primers of revolutionary Marxism called Socialism Made Easy. But I think he's a type of a character that we rarely see any longer, but that I think we need to pay attention to, which is the worker theorist, if you will. But anyway, Connolly's debates with De Leon were notable, but his work with the IWW really left an impact on him. I think he, in turn, left an impact on them. He eventually the IWW in a debate over whether or not there should also be organization in the political party. The IWW was taking a very strongly syndicalist line and seeing the economic organization as being essentially the totality of what workers needed to organize themselves in. Connolly advocated for that, but with the addition of a political party to carry on separate tasks. But the experience of working with the IWW clearly left a strong impression. He went back to Ireland and founded a group called the Irish General Workers Union, or Transport and General Workers Union, which was essentially founded on the one big union concept and was extremely effective. In fact, it became the biggest union in Ireland and remained so until recently. It did actually sort of morphed into a newer body, but it's still in its current manifestation, it's still the largest union in Ireland. And initially organizing the unskilled and general workers, that sort of thing. But as I say, his experience with the IWW definitely brought a sort of syndicalist bent into his theorizing and gave a particular character to the Irish socialist movement.
So, see?